So how many of you have seen the movie again? How many of you read the book? Yeah, a few. Well, it's a film, as we saw, about August or Augie Pullman, a 10-year-old boy with this facial abnormality. And when I watched the movie, in fact, both times I watched the movie, I spent a lot of time in tears because it's that kind of movie. It moved me in profound ways. It's touching, it's funny occasionally, but above all else, I found myself wondering, how would I have dealt with life if that was me at 10 years old having to deal with a facial abnormality or something like that? It's the kind of question that many of us face in some way. And because it's so serious, because it's so important for forming our character and our personhood, it's something worth spending time wondering about today for all of us. But first, let me say a prayer. God, as we wonder about the meaning of life and who we are and where we fit in, help us to hear your word for us today. Give us ears to hear and a spirit of wonder as you speak to us through word and image. For Jesus' sake, amen. Wonder begins, as we saw in the trailer, with Augie about to start fifth grade at Beecher Prep Middle School. His first time in a regular school after previously being homeschooled. And we hear Augie's story told through the eyes of his mother Isabel, his father Nate, his sister Olivia, or Via, and some of their friends. And in a flashback early in the movie, his mother Isabel hears a nurse quote 1 John chapter 5, verse 5, shortly after his birth. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Overcoming the world is a recurring theme in the movie. And Augie's very apprehensive as he heads off to school. He's very uncertain of what that will be like because he knows he's different from almost all other children. His face doesn't look like theirs. His eyes are too low, his ears are too small, his mouth and jaw don't look right, even after 27 surgeries. We all want to fit in, especially 10-year-old Augie with his different face. But 10-year-olds are nothing if not experts in staring at those who are different. Augie knows that will happen to him at school. People will stare at him and then they'll look away pretending not to have stared. 10-year-olds and teens and even adults hate to be different, hate to even look at those who are different. Augie's malformed face is the result of a random, rare genetic accident. But to Augie's classmates, he might as well have come from outer space, which is perhaps a good reason why the space helmet he wore when he was younger was so fitting. But who is the real Augie? Is it the one who hides under the space helmet? Is it the one who hides behind a Halloween mask? Or is it the one who is open and kind and welcome and sensitive and intelligent and aware and real? A wonder. Have you ever felt like you don't fit in? When you're not part of the in-group because you're not the right shape, not the right colour, not pretty or handsome enough, not wearing the right clothes, haven't got the right kind of technology, not got the right house, not living in the right suburb, not driving the right car, not going to the right places for holidays, not funny enough, not friends with the right people, not believing the right things at church, do you get the picture? There are so many boxes that we feel we have to tick in order to fit in. Or do we? How do you respond when you don't fit in? When you are different from everyone else? I was teased by my older brother when I was younger and called Four Eyes because I wore glasses. I hated being different. Didn't you? The good news is that in the eyes of Jesus, we are always accepted. We always fit in. Just think about the way Jesus treated the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. She didn't fit in because of a history of failed relationships. And as she went to draw water from the well in the heat of the day when there were few other people around, Jesus not only spoke to her, but he asked her to give me a drink. Give him a drink. And told her everything she ever did, to the extent that she then ran back to her village and called others to come and see and hear Jesus. And they believed. Now, when we feel we're a kind of Samaritan, a religious or social outcast, or like one of P.T. Barnum's circus freaks, we need to hear this message. We need to understand that Jesus does accept us and accepts us just the way we are and loves us so much that he wants us to be a better person. One who is forgiven, one who is free, one who is accepted and loved for who we are. Not because we're pretty or rich or excellent at sport or have the right toys or whatever measure is currently being used to evaluate us. And so I wonder, do you know that you are loved and accepted by Jesus? Because I wonder. Before school starts, Augie is shown around by Jack, Will and Julian and Charlotte, three students invited by Mr. Tushman, who's the director of the middle school, to help Augie settle into Beecher Prep. It also helps us to have travelling companions on our journey through life, even when they're sometimes a bit off or less than honest in their reactions to us. We could think of the 12 companions that Jesus had. You know, they varied in their character. Peter was impetuous. Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus. And some of the others are a bit bland and we don't hear much about them. And yet, we're all here today because of the relationship that they had with Jesus and because of the kind of people they ended up being, bold and courageous and outspoken and compassionate and effective evangelists and teachers and leaders who helped to share the gospel or good news of Jesus and pass that down through the generations. So I wonder, who are the travelling companions that you're journeying through life with today? Are they a good friend, like Jack Will eventually was to Augie? Or like Summer, the girl who chose to sit with Augie, not because she had to sit with him at lunchtimes, but because she chose to. Or like Augie's parents, who made great sacrifices for Augie and watched over him at night and trusted him to make it in a new school rather than remain in the cloistered independence of being homeschooled. I wonder, with whom are you travelling? I wonder. Augie does have his problems at school to begin with, because no one does want to sit with him or get to know him or touch him. They might get the plague. Lunch times are cruel. Class time is cruel. Only science is good for Augie. And along the way, some tough things happen. Like when Daisy, the family pet dog, dies. Or when Augie overhears someone he thought was a friend say, "Oh, I'd rather die than look like Augie." You know, adversity can be really difficult for us. But our response to adversity can lead to us and others discovering a deep sense of purpose and hope. When we think of the quiet and calm way that Jesus faced his accusers just before he was sentenced to death, we learn a lot about how we face our own accusers. In John chapter 9, when Jesus sees a man blind from birth, his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answers, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life." In other words, so that people could see the power of Jesus to heal the blind man which he did. Even today, some things just happen to people. It might be a random genetic issue, or it might be the result of environmental factors. It might be something that we have no idea about. But it's not sin that causes a facial deformity or some other disability like blindness, etc. And here's the thing. A good foundation helps us cope with tough experiences like deformity and disability or debilitating sickness and random life events, the stuff that happens to us. See, having a good foundation, a good moral compass, helps to keep us firmly on track. And for Augie, that was helped by the solid precepts or rules for living that were taught to him by his classroom teacher, Mr. Brown. Teachers are great. Things like, when given the choice between being right or being kind, choose kind. Or this one, your deeds are your monuments, which is an inscription you can find on an Egyptian tomb. See, these short, pithy statements and quotes from significant people, a new one every month, helped Augie find his place in the new school. And at the end of the year, Augie and the others in his class were invited to write their own precepts, their own statements of a character foundation, which was important for them, to write it on a postcard and to send it to the teacher at the end of their holidays. I wonder, what would you write? The precepts I'd write will be things like, honesty is the best policy, or life's too short to be boring, or when you buy tools, buy good tools. Jonathan would like that, wouldn't he, JD? Oh, I wonder, what precept would you set down for yourself? I wonder. When we have a personal relationship with God through Jesus and both know and obey or live out the teachings of Jesus, we're more likely to stay on track ourselves. And so things like love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and love your neighbour as yourself are excellent reminders of what's important and how we are to treat one another. They're also the two greatest commandments according to Jesus. You can see them in Matthew chapter 22. And yes, you could choose kind, or you could see to it that the monuments you leave as a result of your deeds are the best things possible. So I wonder what you would write. I wonder. The age of 10 can be immensely important in forming our character and making us who we end up becoming and who we really are. When I was 10 years old, Augie's age, I experienced something that had a profound impact on me for quite a few decades. It was late one December afternoon, on the 10th of December, when I was 10, that I had a disagreement with my parents. And so I left the house and went across to the shearing shed, about 100 metres away. It was starting to get dark. But I didn't want to put the lights on and show where I was, so I decided to make an oil lamp. I'd been to Sunday school. I'd heard about them there. And so I found a shallow tin and I poured some oil out of an oil can into it and tore up some strips of cotton material for a wick. And then I went outside the shed to the where the header was parked and got out a box of matches that I knew Dad kept in the toolbox there and came back in and tried to light my homemade oil lamp. But I didn't realise, because I was 10, that lubricating oil is too thick and heavy to burn easily. And so after unsuccessfully lighting my lamp, I gave up. I screwed up the rags and went back to the house to cop my punishment and do the dishes or homework or whatever it was and went to bed. And about 4 or 5 hours later, I was woken by my father shouting at me saying, "Now see what you've done. You've burnt the shearing shed down." And sure enough, I could hear voices shouting and engines roaring, and when I sat up and looked out the window behind me, I could see the bright red glow of flames as the shearing shed was burning down. And I promptly burst into tears, stuck my head under the pillow and cried myself back to sleep. And that night I got a message that stayed with me for decades. And even when I later understood that it was the accidental spontaneous combustion of the oily rags that caused the fire, not me deliberately burning the shed down, I still felt bad. I kept trying to make things right with my dad. I'd have done anything to make it right, but what could I do? I was only a boy of 10, remember? So I wonder, what do you remember of when you were 10 years old? Did anything significant happen? An experience, perhaps, that formed or helped form the real you? Did you discover something significant about life? About who you really were? Did you eventually overcome that handicap and find love, acceptance, forgiveness and peace? So I wonder, when you look back on your 10-year-old self, do you wonder what you might have done differently if you had the choice? I wonder. It took me nearly 40 years to finally have that conversation with my father that had been hanging over my head since that fateful December day when I was 10. And I finally got up the courage to say to my father, "Dad, I'm sorry I burnt the shearing shed down. I didn't mean to. I know it was an accident, but I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me?" And Dad said, "Oh, I forgave you years ago, Ian. Besides, it was the best thing. We got a new and much, much improved shearing shed as a result. Don't worry about it." And I was finally free and felt forgiven. I felt like I'd overcome the world. It was that freeing, that feeling of forgiveness that I finally experienced after all those years. At the end of this movie called Wonder, it's very evident that Augie Pullman is well on his way to overcoming the handicap of being different, if not well on his way to overcoming the world. And when we watch this utterly moving and emotional account of his life as a 10-year-old, we can't help but wonder what our life would be like if we had to endure his handicap. Is this an inspiring movie? Yes. Does watching this movie help us to see parallels with Jesus? Well, yes, for me at least, because it shows me how we can rise above the social handicap of being physically different and can learn that our acceptance isn't dependent on our appearance or on our sporting ability or the money we have or who our friends and companions are. For me, this movie brings to mind the timeless teachings of Jesus, who loves and accepts and forgives us unconditionally, loves us just the way we are. It reminds me of the acceptance and grace that Jesus showed to an outcast Samaritan woman and transformed her into a wonderful evangelist. And this movie reminds me that, yes, we too can overcome the world, and we can overcome all manner of life challenges when we put our trust in Jesus, the Son of God. It won't take them all away, but it will help us to grow and endure and to be more like Jesus in how we treat others. So I want to encourage you not to wait 40 years or more to find forgiveness or to put your trust in Jesus. Because in this wonderful film, August Pullman was a different person after his year at Beecher Prep, middle school. And the whole school was different too. Because at the end of year ceremony, Augie got a standing ovation when he was presented with the prize for having had the greatest impact on his classmates. And you can be a different person now when you put your trust in Jesus. All it takes is the confession and trust that Jesus really is the Son of God, who loves and forgives even you now. You can even get your own standing ovation from Jesus. And if you'd like to speak to God about this, do it now. Put your trust in Jesus. And maybe come and speak to someone after the service about this. The movie Wonder ends with Isabel saying to Augie, "You're a wonder." It's a statement that applies to every one of us too. Truly, you're a wonder. Every one of us is. As the nurse said at Augie's birth, who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And so I wonder, do you know this for yourself? I wonder. I've got two challenges for you for the week ahead. Is there someone you need to forgive? And how will you do that? That's the first one. And the second one, how will you choose kind over this next week? Let me pray. God, we pray that you'll be with those people who struggle to be accepted by others. Be with those who are new in faith, those who are reaching out to you through a new and tentative faith in Jesus. And be with those whose faith is long established, but still feel on the outer in some way. For those who long to know the forgiveness that is God's free gift for those who believe, bring them peace and grace today so that they no longer wonder if God loves them, but experience this, his love now in a very real and tangible way. And God, when we see someone who is different from us, help us not to stare at them or look down on them, but to share the love of Jesus, to get to know them and to stand with them as a fellow witness to the hope that we all have in a relationship with him, as we love God, as we love others, as we do things like choosing kind. Help us, we pray, not to wonder anymore, but to know with certainty that God's love for us is real and true now, and that through faith in Jesus, we really are forgiven. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.